Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Ma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Zilhijjah, a month in which the Hujjaj perform Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj from the Hujjaj that are performing this year, inshaAllah. And may Allah give us all the tawfiq, inshaAllah, to carry out the actions that are required for those who are non-hujjaj, for them to do qurbani with ikhlas, and also most importantly, to value and cherish the first 10 days of Zilhijjah, as we spoke in our Jumu'ah session today. There are many ayats, verses in the Quran that speak about the importance of Hajj, that speak about the importance of qurbani, sacrificing the animal for the pleasure of Allah, and the virtue of the 10 days. And the one chapter that comes to mind is a chapter which every one of us has memorized. It is the shortest chapter of the Quran. The shortest chapter of the Quran. Which one is that? Surah? Shortest chapter of the Quran. Surah Kawthar. MashaAllah. Surah Kawthar. You have another very short chapter of the Quran. Suratul Asr. And Suratul Asr is also very short. And Suratul Kawthar is also very, very short. But when we look into the contents of these very short surahs, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi speaks about Suratul Asr. Wal asri innal insana lafi khusrin illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haq wa tawasaw bis sabr. And he says that Suratul Asr has got so much contents and hidayat for all of humanity, that even if the entire Quran was not revealed and just Surah Asr was revealed, it would have been enough for humanity for their guidance. And so also Suratul Asr, Suratul Kawthar, when you look into the message of Suratul Kawthar, some very, very important points have been mentioned. And inshaAllah ta'ala, I want to go through this chapter, a very short chapter of the Quran, in our session tonight, because it is also related to the month of Zilhijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this chapter has given a direct order, a command to His beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, فصلي لربك وانحر فصلي لربك وانحر. And this is the middle part in which Allah gives him a command that you are to do two things. Number one, perform salah. Perform salah. لِرَبِّكَ for your Lord. وَنْحَرْ and sacrifice. And do the qurbani. So these are the two commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this chapter. Nicely, get your way. And what I was saying is that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this chapter has mentioned فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, that what you do is you perform salah and you do qurbani. These are the two actions that are given to Hazrat Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before this, in the beginning verse of the Quran, before this command that is given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the ni'mat that Allah has given him, of the blessings that Allah has given him. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the verse by saying, Inna a'atainaka kalkawthar. Inna a'atainaka kalkawthar. That, O my Nabi, we have given you kawthar. We have given you kawthar. Now, what is kawthar? What does it mean that we have given you kawthar? Sit this side if you want, on this side. Here, on this wall. MashaAllah, be comfortable. No problem, my brother. This way. That's it. Near the wall. MashaAllah. Anybody wants to sit, they can sit comfortably, MashaAllah. So, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. So, we have blessed you with kawthar. Now, what is the meaning of kawthar? Ulama have given 26 meanings to kawthar. But we won't go through the 26 meanings. We will just go to the main tafsir of kawthar. Number one tafsir of Kawthar is the famous one, of course, that on the day of Qiyamah, when that day will be 50,000 years long, and so it will be a very, very long day, the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that exclusively on the day of Qiyamah, Allah has given, number one, Maqame Mahmood, a zone that is called Maqame Mahmood. That is the zone that will be given to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah. We won't go on to that because that's not our topic. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will also be given the pond of Kawthar. The pond of Kawthar. This pond actually comes out from Jannah. Where does it come out? Jannah. But it will be extended on the day of Qiyamah from Jannah, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have the complete ownership of this pond. And this will be a ni'mah, a blessing, an honor that will be given to this ummah that they are connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will provide water on the day of Qiyamah for his ummah. Can you imagine, mashaAllah, how Allah has given ikram and how Allah has honored this ummah? Think about it. In dunya, Allah has given us zamzam. And this is also the water of Jannah. Allah has given us zamzam. And zamzam, mashaAllah, has the power to cure. That is what is mentioned in the hadith of Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People can use it as a form of medicine also. And alhamdulillah, many people have been cured. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will give them the water of Kawthar. This is also one nahar, one river, a pond-like, beautiful pond that will be made, and that will be for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And no one can trespass. No one can trespass. Who will be guarding the pond? Malaika. The Malaika will be there with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And how will the Malaika recognize this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for them to come? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that my ummah, even on the day of Qiyamah, mahshar, they will be very unique, very different. Their bodies, subhanallah, this body that we see, it will not be this body what we see now. It will be very different. And because now we are connected from alame barzakh to alame akhirat. Where are we connected? Alame akhirat. I hope you understand this terminology. So some of the brothers, mashallah, just to explain. Alame dunya is the world of this dunya. And when you depart from this dunya, when you go underground, that world is called the world of barzakh. Alame barzakh. That is another world. And then when you come out from alame barzakh, then that is called alame akhirat. What is it? Alame akhirat. The very last stage. The final stage. And so this final stage, subhanallah, there, when you come out from your graves, your body will also be very, very different. Ulama have mentioned, because the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they do wudu minimum 5 times a day. Unless of course you have your wudu and you don't require to do wudu, that is fine. But if we say that we do wudu 5 times a day, and because of the wudu, there will be this nur, a light that will be given to them on the forehead and the feet and the hands. The forehead, the hands and the feet. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned this in the hadith. And with all the human beings that will be out there, can you imagine from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, how many humans will be there? And everyone, people will be walking in different directions. Sometimes when you are at the airport, you will find that there are some people who are volunteers, and it's written at the back that we are here to help you. We are here to help you. So if you have any questions. So life becomes very, very easy for a person. It is said that for the service, for the khidmat of the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah will have allocated the angels, the malaika, for this ummah. And when the malaika see that this man is the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the follower of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because of the nur on the forehead, then obviously what will happen is that they will be directed in the right location where Maqam-e-Mahmood is. Where Maqam-e-Mahmood. And where Maqam-e-Mahmood is, whatever you require will be given to you, because you will have Hawdhe Kawthar. And when you drink that water, that will be sufficient for you. That will be sufficient for you. So this ikram, so much ikram, has been given to this ummah, and this is the barakat that we are connected to our beloved Nabi Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So sometimes when you are traveling in an airport somewhere, and you know, you have that card, VIP card, and Emirates, what do we call that? Lounge. And you find some people that go at the airport and Skywards, huh, whatever. Mona Javed Saab ki barkat hai. Arifa, you remember? So, you can go in the lounge and you can have a shower and you can eat and you can drink, and you know, you'll find you really enjoy that environment if you're there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also make the day of Qiyamah a VIP environment for the people who have a connection with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That environment will be made very, very easy just by your connection with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why, my respected brothers, what an honor it is that we read the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Otherwise, if Allah wanted, our kalima would have been La ilaha illallah Musa Rasulullah. We would have been an ummati of another Nabi. If Allah wanted, the kalima would have been La ilaha illallah Isa Rasulullah. He was the Nabi of Allah. Ibrahim Rasulullah. Or any of the prophets for that matter. But Allah selected us. And we are connected to that last Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyyin, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on the day of Qiyamah, Suratul Kawthar is saying that we have blessed you with Kawthar. We have blessed you with Kawthar. Inna aatayna. We have given you Kawthar. And one tafsir is Hawdhay Kawthar, this pond of Kawthar. And another also very important tafsir of Kawthar. Not only Kawthar is given, ulama have mentioned in the Arabic language, Kawthar means Khayre Kathir. What does it mean? Khayre Kathir. Khayre Kathir means that every good in abundance is given to you, O my Nabi. Every good, everything that is considered to be the best, in abundance is given to you. That is why you will find that the following of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the greatest following on the day of Qiyamah. No other ummah is like the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in abundance, every khair and the best we have given you, and that is in your deen, which is Islam. So now, after giving Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam this ni'mah, this bounty, subhanallah, rahmat and ni'mat, Allah is saying, what you have to do is fasalli li rabbika wanhar, read namaz and do qurbani. Now let's move to the last part of this ayat kareema, which we need to understand. And only then, inshallah, everything will be connected. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding on behalf of His Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Abu Jahl and the mushrikeen of Makkah, who were disrespecting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what they said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eldest son, whose name is Qasim, his elder son Qasim passed away. When he passed away, and they had noticed that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's many children in his lifetime had passed away, so they started saying that we don't have to worry about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is a man who is cut off from his own ancestry. What did they say? He is a man who is cut off from his own genealogy, his own ancestry. His nasal will not continue. He will not have any descendants. And he will be cut off. And this was the, you know, mockery, disrespect that came from Abu Jahl, and that came from also the other mushrikeen of Makkah, that we are seeing that the sons of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have passed away. The children of Khadija all passed away. The daughters had also passed away. So, inna shani'aka huwal abtar, they started calling him abtar, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abtar. Abtar in the Arabic language means a person whose ancestry is cut off, that does not continue. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you are wrong. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar. O my Nabi, let me guarantee you, I am Khaliq, I am the creator. I have created everything that you see, not just human beings, But besides that, everything is in my control. Let me give you the glad tidings that everyone who has spoken out to you as Abtar, their lineage, their ancestry, their Aulad, their genealogy will be cut off. Even if they had 10 boys, 10 sons, 20 sons, 30 sons, Allah is saying, Huwal Abtar, every one of them will be cut off. And this was a response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Abu Jahl and the likes of Abu Jahl. Now my respected brothers and elders, our scholars have mentioned that the worst crime a person can do in his lifetime is shirk. What is it? Shirk. That is to associate partnership with Allah. And shirk also means kufr, when you reject Allah. That is the greatest crime. That when you are not worshipping Allah, there is no other crime that is greater than this. No crime that is greater than this. That is why you will find that some people question that when a person goes to Jahannam, he will go to Jahannam for a long period of time. Why, my respected brothers? Because it's not how many minutes the crime took place. Now, if a person is going to kill somebody, the killing took 2 minutes. How many? 2 minutes. We put a knife in someone and it took 2 minutes for him to die. So are you going to punish him for 2 minutes? Can you say we will punish him for 2 minutes? Because the time factor of killing someone was 2 minutes. No. He might have to be in prison for his entire life. And how many years is a life sentence in the UK? Does anybody know? Umar Farooq knows. Idris. How many years? 17. A day and night is counted as one, eh? There's a dispute here between Idris and Umar Farooq. But we will cancel that. But whatever it is, a life sentence is given. What is it? A life sentence. For a crime that was committed, how long?
2 minutes.
Why? Because it's not just a crime. You have taken somebody's life, and not just his life, the people that are connected to him, you have also taken him away from. So it's not a crime of 2 minutes, it's a very great crime. So Allah is saying that from amongst the guna, the sins that you commit, the greatest crime is shirk with Allah. So don't you ever tell me that shirk does not deserve punishment in Jahannam or for a short period of time. Allah is saying, look at the gravity of the sin. That who did you do shirk? You associated partnership with Rabbul Alameen. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah who created everything in front of you. Instead of doing your research and looking at the qudrat of Allah and praising Allah that Allah has opened up this dunya and everything, you turned away from Allah. Is there a greater crime than this? So that is why your punishment is not measured by time. Your punishment is not measured by time. Your punishment is measured by, subhanallah, the level of harm that is effected. So shirk is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Allah is the greatest and Allah is eternal. What is Allah? Eternal. So anything that is connected to Allah is also eternal. And the hereafter does not have the concept of time. So there is no time. There is no sun. There is no moon. And there is no night. And there is no day. In the hereafter, the minute you come out from alame barzakh, there is no such thing as yawmul ithnain, or Yawmul Arbi'a, or Yawmul Thulatha, or Yawmul Khamis, or Yawmul Jumu'ah, or Yawmul Sabt. There's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That is why the Quran records hours, timing in a sense that it will be 50,000 years long, what you would count in your days. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, The worst crime any man can commit is to turn away from Allah, one. And doing shirk with Allah and kufr, and to disrespect the Nabi. To disrespect the Nabi. That is why as Muslims, we are affected and we feel a lot of pain when people even mock Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. Why? Because he is also our Nabi. And we feel pain. If you are going to mock Jesus, it's going to be very difficult for us because he is also our Prophet. If you mock Musa alayhi salam, that is why I spoke to somebody in London who was waving an Israeli flag. So I said to him, you're waving an Israeli flag. Do you know the first commandment given to Moses? Are you a believer? Do you believe in Moses? Are you a lover of Musa alayhi salam? Do you love Moses? I'm a Muslim. I love Muhammad. Of course, he's the greatest Nabi. He's the Nabi for us. We believe in him, the Quran. But we also love Moses. But do you know the first message that Musa alayhi salam gave? Thou shall not kill. You will not kill. Killing is haram. This is the message of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. You are waving this flag and what are you doing? What is the message? Are you following the pristine teachings of Musa alayhi salam? No. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, on the face of this earth, the only community that is holding on to haqq, what is it? Haqq is what? Islam. What is it? Islam. There is no other community. And I will tell you why. If you listen to me very, very carefully. Very carefully. Inshallah, when you listen, Allah gives hidayat. My respected brothers, why Islam is only haqq and the only path? When a person gives any kind of advice or any information to someone, when somebody gives any kind of advice or any kind of information to a person, you will see that the reaction of that person is of two types. For an example, if that information you give him is to his liking, then he will be happy and he will say that what you are saying is the truth. But if you are going to give any advice to a person that is going to rock his comfort zone, that is going to move his comfort zone, or something that he does not like, then you will find that he will not be receptive to you. He will not want to listen to you. Any advice you give to a person, anybody, try it with anybody. You can go home, you can try it with your wife, you can try it with your children. If you are working somewhere, try it with your friends. Try it anyway. I can try it with my musallis that are here. That is why, you know, when I was once doing Jumu'ah Bayan, this man came huffing and puffing. I says, Ya Allah, what's going to happen? You know, Imam's role is very difficult. What is up? Has my wife rang you? I said, lo behold, Mekayar. No, I don't even know your wife. Are you sure? Because you were talking about me on the bayan in front of everybody. So now what happens? I don't even have a clue that I'm talking about you, right? What is it? Do you want me as an imam just to talk about you happy-go-lucky, enjoy by ice cream cow, black full jao, sleep at the time of Fajr, go to Ibiza, Spain, relax, tell your women to wear bikini. You want me to speak like that? What is it that you expect me to talk? Do you want me to speak like that? What is it? Shall I just speak about things that is to your liking, to the liking of your nafs? And this is what happens in the outside world. This is what happening outside. So if you go to college, if you go to university, if you're watching TV, if you're chatting, you know, social networks, they talk to you about the things which you like. What is it? So you are very receptive to them. What are you? Very receptive. Because you like what they are telling you. But when you speak to someone, and because it might be difficult to him and it is not to his comfort zone, he is not receptive to you. I'll give you another example just to cheer you up. Aapko zara hasaun yaar. Kabhi kabhi lamba bayan ho jaye to fir kuch na kuch to aap so jate hain. Guys are sleeping, all of you. All of you are sleeping. So, now, I did a bayan and I spoke out openly how important it is to marry a second wife to the men folks. Marry a third wife. Marry a fourth wife. Look at the Yusuf Bhai and everybody smiling already. MashaAllah, sabke chehre par muskurat, sab jawan ban gaye. Look at them. Everybody is happy with this topic. Get married. Now, when I did this topic, most of the people that go ask, this is the best imam. What is it? This is the best imam. Maulana Muhammad, top imam. Look at him. Very nice. Opening the doors for us. Get married. Get married. Now the mothers that are listening at home, bye, don't take this seriously. Don't take this seriously. Why? Because anybody who comes to me and they ask me, you know, that So, when they ask me that, Mauli Sahab, you know, we want to get married, what is your advice? So, you guys know what advice I give. I say, my advice is one word, tsunami. What I? If you are ready for tsunami, get married. If you want a tsunami in your life, get married. So people then say, okay, Molsab, we understand. We thought you'll give us permission, this and that. Manakaya, who am I to give you permission? But anyway, if the imam talks like that, people like it. What is it? Really nice. Bayan. People enjoyed it. Molsab, excellent. But now, the same person in the congregation, whose son-in-law decides that he wants to marry another wife, or a brother-in-law deciding that I want to marry another woman, then he'll say, these are the imams that spoil our communities. What are they? These are the same imam. You know, all this is because of that Maulvi sitting on the pulpit, Masjid-e-Umar mein. It's because of his bayans that, you know, my daughter is suffering. So nobody wants to allow their daughter to share another woman. However, that person finds it fine that let me get another one. You know what I'm trying to say? And so this is just an example that I'm giving you, that this is the fitrat of a human being. Bhai, don't do this. Nothing. Umar toh, he doesn't do anything. Umar only likes to blackmail me and tell me off and do this, and he monitors me. Where were you? Why didn't you tell me? I said to him, am I married to you, bhai? Tu meri biwi hai kya? Main apni biwiyon ko nahi kehta hoon, main kahan jata hoon, tumhe kya kahunga? Because then people do panchats. So I have to be very private. So anyway, because where did you go, Mauli Sahab? I says, where? I don't even tell my wife where I go. But rest assured, where I went was HMC approved. Absolutely halal. What is it? Don't worry. Nothing haram. It's to serve the community. But anyway, Subhanallah al-Azim. When you give any advice to somebody, if it is something that he likes, he will praise you, he will listen to you, he will accept you, he will be receptive to you. But when you give information about anything that is against you, that is against that person, then you will find that they don't want to listen to you. They don't want to know you. Then they will go against you. That is why, please listen to me very carefully, huh? So inshallah you can understand. Don't allow shaitan to distract you. MashaAllah, you are here, listen. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is considered to be the greatest from the companions. He is the greatest from the companions. You know why, my respected brothers? Because the one quality that he had inside him is that all the other companions were forced into some form of peer pressure. When Allah's Nabi informed them about Iman, Islam. They accepted, but they had some questions, they had some things to say. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq unconditionally, on the spot, in that majlis, when Allah's Nabi told him accept Islam, he immediately accepted his Islam, despite the fact that he knew that he is going against everything that his family is doing, that his friends are doing, that his city is doing, everything against. Remember, today you can say, we have a thriving Muslim community in Leicester. I am talking about the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we go back, perhaps the only person who was a Muslim when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was given da'wat was Hazrat Khadija. So there was nobody else, remember. It was no one else. And there is no one else besides Bibi Khadija and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And for him to say unconditionally, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, I accept you as my Nabi. I accept you as my Nabi. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That is why he is the greatest. And that is why, my respected brothers, Islam is the only religion that is haq. What is it? That is haq. Because Islam does not tell you everything what you like. Islam tells you also the things that you are doing is wrong. And Islam puts you on the right track, that what Allah tells you is right, not what you think is right. Don't pick and choose your television programs, the movies you want to watch, you know, the imams that you want, that, oh, you know what, I like this imam because he talks like that. No. Shariat is this. What is it? Shariat is this. That is why you will find that Islam is the only religion that is haq. It will tell you the truth. And there is no other religion but Islam. That is why amongst the galaxy of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has got a great, great status. Why? Like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was challenged and he did not give in to the pressure from his family. Did he give in to the pressure from his family? The father was not just an idol worshipper, but he was the one who was selling, he was making idols and selling it to his community, to the people. His name is Azar. And Ibrahim alayhi salam spoke to the father, to the family first, inviting them that, Abbaji, what you are doing is totally wrong. Worshipping stones is illogical. It is against the intellect that Allah has given you. It is against, a lot of the problems are just solved by your brain. What are you doing? What a mockery that you are carving out stones and making eyes and mouth and you are doing this. There was so much pressure on him, so much pressure on him. Eventually they said, you know what, as the Hindu community does, Allahu Akbar, that even before they go in Alam-e-Barzakh, with their own hands, they want to put fire on the body of their loved ones. Even before you enter Alam-e-Barzakh, you know, I'm not disrespecting anybody, this is something that is a common practice to them. So this is, they will put fire to the body of the beloved one in front of them, and to see him burning. Allahu Akbar. And this only happens, my respected brothers, when a person turns away from haq, the truth, revelation, divine revelation. So they decided to torch, to burn alive Ibrahim alayhi salam. They decided the same thing. These idol worshippers that were there in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is, we are going to burn you alive. And even in front of such, Allahu Akbar, a punishment that they want to give to a Nabi of Allah who is speaking the truth, he did not budge an inch from the truth. He did not budge an inch from the truth. And what he said, that look, do whatever you have to do, but the truth is there is only one God. There is only one God. And so my respected brothers, what we learn is this, that you can only compromise where you can compromise. But, you know, they say that a liberal society, a very liberal society, wallahi, they are not a liberal society. A liberal person is a Muslim. What is he? A person. Because he hasn't got 100 gods. He only believes in one God, that is Allah. Otherwise you'll find other people, they want to follow their science, that teacher, this formula, this ideology. You know, some people are this, some people are this. And that is why you will see from a very young age, they want to make masti. Children who are as young as 7, children who are as young as 7, they are taught and brainwashed that, you know what, if you feel you're a girl, and even if you have the male organ, you're a girl. Can you imagine a 7-year-old boy or a girl, and what you are telling him? And these are the things that are being taught. And you go to a girl and you say, even if you have a female organ, but if you feel, you see, when the term feel comes, that is the time 100 shayateen grab that boy. What do? Because shaitan has the power of waswasa. What does he? This waswasa takes control of his mind and the heart, and the waswasa is put inside him with such force. You see, there was a crash of that flight, that German flight, Eagle, what was it? German wings, if you remember. The pilot locked the doors and he was depressed. And if you want to kill yourself, by you kill yourself, but you don't kill the 200 passengers with you. And what he did, with nose down, dipped the whole plane, crashed it. So when shaitan's waswasa comes inside a person, then all the faculties are blocked. Then that person really thinks, he becomes crazy, that, you know what, yeah, what my teacher said is right. But what my Allah said, what my Rasul is saying, shaitan says, you know what, doubt that. What your Imam Sahib is saying is wrong. This is the mockery. And then what happens, if you look at the statistics, Allah save us, the people who've had a sex change, they are regretting now. Honestly, bichare inki halat ab dekhe. If you look at some of these actresses and some of these actors and celebrities, and they've done a lip, you know, change and this change, and after a few years, when you look at the faces, they are like aliens. What are they? Tawbah, astaghfirullah, aliens. You know, my son was showing me once a video of this person. He says, Abba, look at this man. He's English, but he feels that, you know what, I'm from, where is it? Thailand or somewhere like that. So, Chinese. So, he did all these operations to look like a Chinese person. And wallahi, when you look at his face, you wonder, ke, Ya Allah, what a mockery that shaitan is doing with people's mind. That is why, wallah, my respected brothers, everything what we do will end, and there will be only one tombstone that will be on your grave. That tombstone, Muhammad Sindhi, born this year, died this year. That is your reality. That is your reality. Ab main Umar Farooq ka naam leta, to the wife would have rang me. Umar Farooq, why do you want to get rid of my husband? So I'm getting phone. People are saying, why do you bully him? But I'm not bullying him at all. Am I bullying him? Not at all. So I used my own example. This is the reality. Everything ends there. That is why, my respected brothers, don't get excited by any other system in the world. Wallahi, there is no other system. Because any system that is going to rock your comfort zone, You will find it very, very difficult, and that is where shaitan comes, and that is where guna comes. That is why Allah is saying, tune yourself, reset that button. You know that iman button? Sometimes you want to reset your computer, your mobile phone, factory settings, so it becomes everything original. Your tawbah and istighfar is your reset button. Press your reset button. Do tawbah and istighfar. Reset your button and become good individuals and run upon the fitrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nature, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you. That is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, under no circumstances, no peer pressure, because these are the things that you can't compromise with. These are the things that you can't compromise with. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were saying to him that, O Nabi of Allah, you call yourself a Nabi, a messenger, and you are saying when we die, we will be accounted for what we do. So when we die, who is going to bring us back alive? When we die, who is going to bring us back alive? مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامِ وَهِيَ رَمِيمِ Who is going to bring us back alive? You know, this is the kind of masti. So the Quran gave a very simple logical answer. That what are you, fools? When Allah has already created you, your sample is already there, then what will be difficult for Allah to recreate you? Think about it. You see, let's look at Toyota. Toyota, a car, and the company is doing manufacturing and designing this car. So now they've come out in 2019 with a lovely model car, any car. And then all of a sudden, the company, Toyota people say that, oh, you know what, now we can't design any car, we have forgotten. Can they say that? No. Of course they can't say that. You are the people who have designed the car. Every year you will bring a new car, upgraded version in the market all the time. When you have something, it's easy to repair. It's easy to... Allah is saying, when I've given something, and then my respected brothers, now look at the mistake people do. So for an example, if you go to, you know, a scientist or somebody who designs the cars and all that, all of the people, and you know, what is the main thing that they use to build a car? And just say you are using steel. What is it? Steel. So now, you come to me, and you say, Maulana, Toyota company uses so much tons of steel to make this beautiful Toyota car. So we are giving you all the metal that is required and everything that is required. Now you make this car. Now who am I? What am I supposed to do? I should make this car. Now listen to me. Can I design this car? In 20, 30 years, can I design the car? Even if I had Siraj with me, I couldn't design this car. I couldn't design this car. No way. But the same steel, the amount, ingredients of this car, all the things, components that is required, and you give it to this Toyota company, will they able to do it? They'll do it. Straight away they'll put this car in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, am I saying that you are going to create yourself or you are going to create other humans on the day of Qiyamah? You can't do it, but I can do it. Like a Toyota company, if you put all the metal and everything in front of them, they are experts. A common man will not be able to design a computer, not even a car. If you put computer parts in front of me, I can't do it. But you put a computer parts in front of an expert, right? MashaAllah, and he will build the best computer for you. So Allah is saying, if you people... When the parts that I give you in this dunya, you can build a computer. When I've already designed you, I can design you a million times. But I'm not asking you, I'm not saying Abdullah is going to create another Yusuf, or Yusuf is going to create Omar, or Omar is going to create another person, nothing like that. Because that power is not with you. So this is also from shaitan, that these people were thinking, how? You are thinking because your brain is like that. What is it? You are thinking in accordance to your brain. and according to your power, but you are not thinking of the ilm of Allah, and you are not thinking the power of Allah, that Allah is Malik of kun fayakun, He can create whatever He wants. So the Quran speaks to us in a way that we should understand, in a way that our iman should be very, very strong. And so the same problem, you see, now what happens, let me go back to this story of Abtar, that they were calling Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam Abtar. And the main culprit were the people of Makkah, including Abu Jahl, including Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, you will not find a more arrogant man than Abu Jahl in your lifetime. They call him the Fir'aun of this ummah. The Fir'aun of this ummah. But in fact, some ulama say he is worse than the Fir'aun. Why? Why? What had happened is that in the battle of Badr, he stopped everyone and he says, we are not returning back to Makkah. We are going to fight Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he is the one who stopped everybody. The mushrikeen said, let us go back. He said, no. We will end the story of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam once and for all, with a lot of arrogance. And in the battle of Badr, subhanallah, imagine the one who is the most arrogant, the one who is the most arrogant, Allah uses the most humble three individuals who were considered to be the most humble to finish him off. The most humble. His arrogance, the peak of arrogance, and the peak of humility. In fact, to humiliate him, there were two young boys, not even men folks. What were they? Mu'az and Mu'awwad. Mu'az and Mu'awwad. Battlefield in Badr. So they asked the elders that, you know, we have heard that Abu Jahl did gustakhi, masti, mockery to our Nabi. Can you point out where Abu Jahl is? They were so young. And Ghaliban, was it Hazrat Abdul Rahman or who? Said, Abdul Rahman? Abdullah ibn Masud comes later on. But the one who informed. He said that, subhanallah, there he is. And subhanallah, the two of them, brothers, joint effort, and one took out the blade and hit Abu Jahl also on the legs. Abu Jahl on the legs. And also the animal was injured. Because they were short, they were not tall, and they wanted to make sure that Abu Jahl comes down. Abu Jahl fell. When Abu Jahl saw that these two boys have thrown me down, then came Abdullah ibn Masud. Now Abdullah ibn Masud also, physically very short, very, very thin, very thin. And so just to help the two boys, he came. And the two boys said that, Hazrat, today we finish him off. Hazrat Abdullah is saying, of course we will. It's the end of Abu Jahl. Now there's an amazing story of Abdullah ibn Masud accepting Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq as they were out. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at a distance had seen this shepherd. So Allah's Nabi went to him. It was Abdullah ibn Masud, looking after the goats that were there. So Hazrat said to him, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that young man, was a very young man. Some of the scholars have mentioned he was the sixth person to accept Islam, if I recall. So, Hazrat said to him that, can you give me something to drink, goat's milk? So he says, I can't give you without the permission of the owners. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, okay. Then no problem. Just allow me to see and touch that goat that does not give milk. That goat does not give milk. So you get goats that don't also give milk. And so the shepherds They know this. So he said, that goat never gives milk. So okay. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq brought the goat in front of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to touch the goat, stroking the goat. It is said that milk started coming out from the udders. Milk started coming. Now all this Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood is looking at. Incredible. That this goat never gives milk. But from the udders milk is coming out. And he understood that this man is not an ordinary man, an extraordinary man. And he's the Nabi of Allah, and Allah's Nabi gave him da'wah to accept Islam. Abdullah ibn Masood became a Muslim in that majlis. And when he became a Muslim, Allah's Nabi said something amazing. Innaka ghulamun mu'allam. That you, young child, will be a man of great knowledge. You, young man, will be a man of great knowledge. And we know that from the Sahaba, the kibare ulama, the people who were of great knowledge, one was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But he was very thin, very small. And this same Abdullah ibn Mas'ud now is on top of his chest. Now imagine this man who is such a mutakabbir, so much arrogance, is saying to the two boys and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that you are disrespecting me. You are disrespecting me. Takabbur dekhe, look at the arrogance. I am Abu Jahl, the leader of my clan. You two boys have injured me. And you, pointing at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, how dare you climb the body of Abu Jahl? Allahu Akbar. At the time of death, can you imagine? Look at my chest and look at you. I can't run anywhere. He's saying to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, go and call a pehlwan, a fighter, a great fighter from amongst your team, from the Muslims. Call a great leader to come and finish me off. I find it disrespectful for you to do this to me. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, look at the peak of arrogance. Allah save us from takabbur. Now, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud then took out his blade and said, I am enough for you. I will have the honors. Even then he did not stay quiet. He says, okay. Look at his takabbur. He says, when I die, you see, don't cut me from here. Don't cut me from here. Cut me from here. So this part of the neck, when all the heads are put in a line, my neck will be the highest. My head will be the highest because of this height of the neck. So cut me as low as you can from here. And when he was seeing the malaika at the time of Sakarat, look at the Sakarat of Abu Jahl and look at the Sakarat of Fir'aun. This is why ulama say the worst person in this ummah was Abu Jahl. Fir'aun was the worst person. He gave grief to Musa alayhi salam. But when he saw the angels at the time of Sakarat, what did he say? I bring Iman upon the Rabb of Musa. He gave up. He didn't say it publicly because nobody knows. Nobody could hear. This is information that only came in wahi to this ummah. Because nobody was with Fir'aun to hear him what he was saying. But Allah is saying that this is what he uttered when he saw my angels. That now I bring Iman upon the Rabb of Musa alayhi salam. This is the Sakarat of Fir'aun. And when Abu Jahl saw the Malaika and Sakarat at the time of Sakarat, he said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, go and give my message. Aliyazu billah, aliyazu billah, aliyazu billah, aliyazu billah, Allah save us. He says, go and say to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I hate your deen even more now as I am going. Astaghfirullah. And this is how this khabis, this mal'oon, this shaitan departed from this dunya. Can you imagine the trouble he must have given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he was the first man, he was the man who called Rasulullah abtar, that the genealogy, the awlad and the ancestry of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be cut off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him that actually your genealogy, your ancestry, your lineage will be cut off, and not only cut off, but Allah gave His son Ikrima Hidayat. His son Ikrima Hidayat. That is why when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent a message that Ikrima, you're a learned man, clever man, you know, become a Muslim. He says, are you sure this is not a plan to go kill me because of the things that my father did? Because he knew what his father did. Allah's Nabi said no. And when he came and he became a Sahabi. So that way, Ikrima was also cut off from Abu Jahl, because there's no relationship with a believer and the person who's in the state of kufr. But anybody who has troubled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the punishment is that their line is cut off. Their lineage is cut off. It ends there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Now, on this topic, my respected brothers, why is it that sometimes people don't want to accept the truth? I had already explained to you in this session today that when any advice you give, if it is something that a person likes, he will praise you. I gave this misal of marrying because you will always remember this. That one party is praising the imam and the other party is hating the imam. One message. But why is one party praising and one party hating the imam? Why? Because for one group of people it is going against them, and for another group of people it is going for them. It is going for them. So this is the fitrat of insan. But another thing that we have to understand, this is the second level, which is most common today amongst the people, and with this we will end inshallah ta'ala, is that sometimes you will find that when you give advice to anybody, good advice, you tell them that look, what you are doing is wrong and this is right. Even personally, listen to me, even personally, it has got nothing to do with them, what they like or what they dislike. It does not affect them. But they still reject on the basis that once in their lifetime, they had promoted this. What did they do? They were promoting this wrong. When they were promoting this wrong, now you are telling them the right. It does not affect them personally, at a personal level, it does not affect them. But because once in a lifetime, they were promoting this which was wrong, their ego, the takabbur that is inside them does not allow them to change and accept the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand? Baat samajh aayi nahi? One is that it is nice to your nafs and you accept it. And if it is not nice to your nafs, it affects you and you say no. That is understandable. Chalo. But there are some people, privately, personally, at their own level, it is nothing to do with their body or their nafs or anything like that. But because they were promoting this once, and they have promoted this in their lifetime, now to withdraw, they find it against their status. They find it against their maqam. And this is ego, this is pride, and this is takabbur. And they reject the truth. That is why the Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr, were the best. Because with everything against them, they accepted the truth. That is why Allah is saying, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Any man who follows any other ideology other than Islam, he is the most foolish. He is the most foolish. Most foolish person. فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ Nothing will be accepted from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers and elders. And so in this ayat-e kareema, the main message as we end in a few minutes, azan kitne baje aa rahi hai? 23. The main message is that like how Allah talks about the blessings that he gave to his Nabi, After giving the blessings, Allah said to the Nabi, do shukr by praying namaz and doing qurbani. So the main message of this ayat, of this chapter is, that when Allah gives you blessings, don't only do the shukr of Allah by your tongue, not only by your tongue, but also physically do shukr of Allah of the blessings that He has given you. You will find sometimes Allah has given people money. What is it? And then this money is used in the haram avenues. This is not shukr of the money that Allah has given. So any ni'mat that Allah gives you, that is why Allah is saying to His Nabi, I gave you kawthar. So, I am giving you kawthar, what are you to do? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Do your namaz and do your qurbani. Do action and do amal. Because ibadat and worshipping Allah is a form of shukr. Is a form of shukr. So, in this ayat-e kareema, with the qurbani message and the Eid message, that is why ulama have mentioned, with the qurbani, Allah is saying, go and perform salah. This also refers to Eid namaz. So that is why ulama have mentioned Eid namaz is wajib and qurbani is also wajib. And so mashallah, we must also give qurbani. And this is something that is very important. You don't even have to give qurbani. You know, we distribute it to three individuals, your family and your neighbors and then to the needy. This distribution is mustahab. What is it? Mustahab. You do it, alhamdulillah. But if you don't do it and if you want to stock it only for yourself, you can also eat your own qurbani meat. There's no problem. And if you want to give, alhamdulillah, you can also give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na. Kufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.